This is the Memory Palace. I'm Nate DiMeo. Up there on the white horse, how could he not remember? What with the way that scent and sound and certain movements can suddenly conjure the past and invite it to ride beside you for a moment. And so William Henry Harrison, at 68 years old, astride a horse once again, feeling the saddle beneath him, leather bridle rough in his ungloved hands, the familiar clop and sway and smell and stride of the animal, cold air in his lungs in that late winter morning in 1841. How could he not think back to a November morning in the frosted pre-dawn, 30 years before, when he rode another horse, wheeled and reared and charged, and shouted out orders to his men, 1,000 soldiers under his command, under attack in the night by 700 Shawnee warriors, who'd sought to surprise them, but Harrison had thought they might and had his men sleep dressed for the fight, rifles at the ready, and by daybreak, the raiders had retreated, and Harrison rode through the encampment, counting the dead. 63 men on his side, somewhere near there on the other. A draw, in a way. But by evening, he had done what he had come to the Tippecanoe to do. He had burnt the Shawnee city on its banks to the ground. The warriors had abandoned it to regroup. And Harrison declared the skirmish a tremendous victory. One that was hailed in story and song and made him a celebrity, an American hero, and got him elected to Congress and then the Senate, and then named one of five candidates whom the Whig Party ran for president in 1836. But he lost, and then retired from public life, fully expecting to live out his days quietly on a farm in Ohio. But here he was, back in the saddle, as the song goes. Plucked out of retirement by political operatives who saw a chance to make Martin Van Buren a one-term president. A real estate bubble had led to a recession and a spike in unemployment, and the president was too concerned about the deficit to spend on infrastructure and boost the economy, and I'm sure that none of that sounds familiar or relatable at all, but anyway. The Whig Party wanted a celebrity, a national figure to put up against the Democrat. And why not a war hero, known from story and song? And soon William Henry Harrison, retiree, was brought back to Tippecanoe for a campaign event. A big rally with 30,000 people. 30 years after he'd fought the Shawnee to a draw, and then burned down their city while there was no one there to defend it. And the party bosses rolled out a slogan for he and his tag-along vice presidential candidate, Tippecanoe and Tyler Too, which was catchy and captured the public imagination, which the people who came to see him and cheer him on his inauguration day, just a few months later, who lined the streets bundled up against the winter chill, would call out and chant as he rode by. And to be that man on that horse, nearly 70 years old, just a year before he was staring down the barrel of an uneventful and uninspiring and probably more than a little depressing dotage, ticking off the days in a creaking rocking chair and a creaking body. But now he was President of the United States. He was riding high on a white horse, waving to adoring crowds who'd come to see the legend in the flesh. And sure, he was a little weathered, a little withered, maybe a little stiffer in the hips and achier in the lower back than he used to be in the saddle, but he still felt like the man they'd come to see. Had the same spirit. Why, he'd proved it just that morning. He'd given the longest inaugural address in history, set a record that still stands today, 8,400 words. With thoughts on being called from his retirement to duty, thoughts on Roman republicanism, thoughts on governing he'd been storing up for decades and was finally getting the chance to air out, and soon to set them all in motion. It felt great. The day was cold and windy, but he didn't mind. Didn't wear a coat or a hat or gloves because he was William Henry Harrison. Didn't take the enclosed carriage his staff had arranged because the crowds had come to see Tippecanoe. He was going to give the people what they wanted. So he rode that horse and waved and waved and waved for hours. Went to 3 balls that night, despite feeling that maybe he was coming down with something. Because he was the president. And no one tells the president not to go to his own parties. Not on inauguration day. The work of the presidency would begin tomorrow. Today, he was back in the saddle. catching pneumonia, which would kill him a month later, and which would give this story any number of morals from which we can choose. Something about hubris, surely. It's definitely something about aging that we could squeeze down to a fortune cookie koan. Remember the person you were, but don't forget the person you are. Or something like that. But I will choose another. A simple truth, older than the Republic. Passed down from generation to generation. From grandparent to grandchild, say. As it was imparted by William Henry Harrison to his grandson Benjamin on that very day. Such that when Benjamin himself became the president on a cold and rainy morning in 1889, he wore a coat. Dressed for the weather. The Memory Palace is produced by me, Nate DeMaia, with engineering assistance from Melissa Dudley and research assistance from Andrea Milne. This show is a proud, proud member of Radiotopia from PRX, which receives ad-serving technology from AdZerk and financial support from the Knight Foundation and MailChimp, which encourages chaos, creativity, and teamwork. Another new episode in a couple of weeks with another one from my residency at the Metropolitan Museum of Art popping up. Even sooner than that. If you are still trawling for a New Year's resolution, how about committing to share the Memory Palace with someone you think will like it? It's easier than going to the gym. Thanks. Talk to you again. Radiotopia.